been good to be here, and I tell myself a lot when I get up here to share, which doesn't happen very often, and it seems like every time I think, well, you know, next time I'll be a little more prepared. I will, you know, from here on out, I'll be thinking about what to share, and I'll have some thoughts together, and it seems like it never really works that way. Usually comes down to the last minute, and things just don't really seem to be coming together. But so this morning, I was just thinking, you know, if my life was more wrapped around the Word of God and more centered on that, surely out of that abundance, there would be more in my heart that I could share with others. So this morning I want to look at a life consumed with God. I was going to put the word Christ in there, but I think that would be a whole different angle, a different subject. That's not exactly where I'm going this morning. So part of that is because we're going to start in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms. And at this time, Christ hadn't come, but we know Christ is God, and God is Christ, and the Spirit, all three are in one. And so the saints in the Old Testament were just as much believers as we are today. God hasn't changed. So I want to turn to Psalm 119. I'm just going to take the first 24 verses here. We're going to read these, and I could have stopped anywhere. I could have gone a lot further, but we're just going to take this portion and just see what we can get out of it. So beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 119, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." I want to take a look at that verse 5. I feel like what he's saying here is basically asking God to help him to order his life and his walk of life in such a way that he can keep all of God's law. That should be the desire of our heart. You know, what could we change in our life that would, I don't want to say force us to, but that would just bring us that much closer to God, that we could change things in our life, that our daily walk of life would be more centered around God and his law and his words. What if we ordered our lives around keeping his statutes? A statute, the definition of that is a law or decree made by God. That can be anything. There's a broad spectrum of what that can be. Anything from command, what we think of as commands of God, like the Ten Commandments, where it's more of a laws that are laid down. It can be anything from that to decrees that govern things like nature around us, creation, the courses of the stars and the planets, things like that God has decreed that will never change. That's what he's talking about here. The word statutes. So let's keep reading. "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servants, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. The last verse there, the testimonies of God, it says, are my delight and my counselors. Another word for testimonies here is witness. So the witness of God. Those are can be two very different things. My delight and my counselors. We don't always find delight in counsel. And that's how God's word is. There's things in there that are hard, but they're good for us. But there's also things that we can delight in. So I have a list written down here of, I think it's eight words maybe, that all kind of run together in the same theme. These are words that are found in this passage that we read. So the words I'm looking at, it's talking about God's law, testimonies, ways, precepts, commandments, statutes, judgments, and his word. And out of all these words, at least one of them is found in each of these verses. And through this whole psalm, we find that just how he's writing of just lifting up God and his word, his will for us, his judgment, his commands, everything. It's just centered around that. Every verse describes God in some way in these areas. And God delights in our obedience. We should find joy in obeying him. Like it says there, a couple places it talks about delighting in the Lord and his statutes, his ways. Now this was someone in the Old Testament. So this is a little different from how we find it today. But there's a lot we can still glean from this. There's another verse. Verse 13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And we have many opportunities to speak of God's judgments to those around us. And not just his judgment, but his love and his will for us, all these things. Do we speak of these things to those around us? Do we take those opportunities? And if our heart is truly full of God's word, it's not going to be that hard for us to share with those around us. And that's what I'm aiming at here this morning, is just that we would see the importance of filling our life with God's word, that our every action and every day that could be, we could be turning our hearts toward God. And that's something I'm still have a hard time with understanding, because I know that's God's will for us. But for me, when I'm spending, a normal day at work and it's hard to understand how we can actually do that, because some of us are better at this than others, but it's hard to multitask. I mean, we can get so focused on what we're doing. It's just, that's what we do all day, is our work. And it seems like we don't have much time for, how can we, in the midst of that, still be turning our heart toward God? Yeah, I know it's possible. I know it's His will for us, and I need to His will for that in my life. Let's turn now to Colossians chapter 3. I have several verses here I want to read. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Now the things here that he is asking of this church and that he's telling them to be diligent in, these aren't possible without the help of God. And so we need God's help in our life constantly to work these things out. Let's start in verse 12 here. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called, in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, verse 16 tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. That's where true wisdom comes from. And if we want to, we're called as Christians to be a light to those around us, to share God's wisdom. We know so much, and it's easy to keep it to ourselves. But if we understand the wisdom of God, we will readily share that with those around us. If God's word is dwelling in us richly. I want to look at the example of Jesus, just a few points I want to take out of Matthew chapter 4. We're told that the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and that was Christ. And so he was the word of God. He didn't have to memorize the word of God like we do, things like that. But yet we are called to follow his example. And this is his example in chapter 4. We're going to look at, speaking of his temptation here in the wilderness. Now, he was filled with the word. And when these temptations came to him, that is what his response was. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. It was something that this chapter was speaking to me was, if we are going to be serious about life, and we're going to take the time to live in the Word and draw close to God, the devil is definitely going to attack that. And yet, the more the devil attacks us, usually it's because he knows that we're gaining ground, and he's going to want to prey on that even more. But in that, we should have more strength and more power from God's word to defeat him. We see here the example of Christ, how he, everything that the devil brought to him, he was able to defeat by the truth of God's word. And I think verse 11 is a real promise to us. It says, "Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So when we strive for perfection in our life, and when we reach for God and his will for us, things are going to get hard, and the devil is going to try to take advantage of us and to get us off course in those things. But I think this is a promise to us that if we're faithful, if we consistently, by the truth of God's word, resist the devil, that he will leave us after a time, and there will be times when we will be ministered to and we can find that peace and rest. Because it's worth the fight. You know, if we stop fighting, the devil is going to, he's probably not going to fight with us that much either. But it is worth it in the end to be zealous for God and to do what it takes to draw closer to him in a deep relationship. So God bless the rest of the service.